Well, a year ago today, we watched white smoke billow out of the Sistine Chapel, signifying that cardinals had chosen a pope. He took the name Francis. He was the first Jesuit pope, the first from South America. And he spent his first year, well, let's remind ourselves, and also look to the future with NPR's Sylvia Poggioli in Rome. And Sylvia, you and others have been parsing this past year. How would you sum it up overall?
The big transformation we've seen is in how many Catholics and also non-Catholics now perceive the church. You know, after more than a decade of clerical sex abuse scandals, embarrassing leaks from inside the Holy See, and even suspicion that the Vatican Bank was used for money laundering, the Vatican here in Rome had, to say the least, a very serious image problem. And now in the last year, Francis has introduced a very loving, inclusive, merciful language and outreach, even to people outside the church. But most of all, he's been very embracing of those he calls the peripheries of societies. There's a new glow, I think, in the Catholic Church. It's seen as certainly a much more inclusive place. The most important reform that Francis has brought about is the introduction of a new economic department that will oversee the Vatican Bank and other financial agencies, and it will answer directly to the Pope. Remember, he was elected on a specific mandate to restore credibility and effective management inside the Vatican governing bodies. So he started, first of all, to put the church house in order.
Well, you've met people who've been coming to the Vatican, making pilgrimage, who aren't even Catholics. They're just so attracted by what you describe as this glow. But as you well know, not all Catholics are happy. This Pope said that atheists could be redeemed. He famously said, "Who am I to judge gays?" A lot of Catholics, we spoke to William Donahue of the Catholic League, said, "You are exactly the person who we expected to judge gays." So is this a break in the church? How would you describe those people who are reacting to the Pope in that way?
Well, it's not a secret that not everyone is thrilled with him. In one of his very first interviews, Francis said that the church had focused too much on issues such as sexual morality, contraception, abortion, gay marriage, etc., while he wants to focus on tolerance and mercy, his big tent view of the world. And he said in that interview that he himself had been reprimanded by certain circles for not focusing enough on issues of sexual morality. And outside the church, you're right, there are a lot of people like in the global north, let's say, dismayed by his tough economic message, his focus on inequality and the ills of globalization and laissez-faire capitalism. He's even been accused by some Americans of being a Marxist. But it's also true that when it comes to, you know, liberal Catholics' hopes that he will introduce radical doctrinal changes, he's been quite ambiguous. He has not said exactly if and what he will change in church teaching.
Rush Limbaugh famously said that the Pope was speaking like a Marxist, but you talk about how he's instituted more transparency around the Vatican Bank, but he hasn't openly apologized to victims of clerical abuse. We will always hear, Sylvia, from listeners who say, why do we focus so much on this one church, especially given the huge sex abuse scandal? Can you take a shot at that? Why? Why is it so important to take a look at what this one man has done in his job in the last year?
Well, 1.2 billion Catholics across the world is one reason. It is a very big church. And certainly John Paul II put the Vatican on the global map. I mean, up until then, it was more of a quaint institution seen from outside of the Catholic world. John Paul II was at the center of huge historical changes in Europe, the fall of communism. So certainly it entered the global stage. Mm-hmm. Under Benedict, the Vatican withdrew a lot. I think we may be seeing a return to the geopolitical stage with Francis, because I think probably one of the most important differences between him and his predecessors is precisely that he is not from Europe. He's from the global south. He's post-ideological. He's not a product of the Cold War the way John Paul was, and he's not so concerned with the decline of the church in Europe the way Benedict was. He knows the church is growing on the peripheries, and that's where his attention is. It's not unusual that after visiting the Holy Land, his second trip this year will be to South Korea, to Asia, where Catholicism, like in Africa, is growing rather rapidly.
And where do you see, look in your crystal ball, the next few years ahead, what do you see the possible impact of this Pope?
Well, you know, that we have to see. This is just the end of year one. John Paul reigned for 27 years. But I think the tough part comes now. The honeymoon spell may end pretty soon. There are such high expectations for reform from many parts of the Catholic Church. And of course, social issues are going to be in the forefront at a big bishops' assembly, a synod, on the topic of the family to be held at the Vatican in October. Now, Francis has opened up a debate inside the church on how to bring back Catholics who divorced and remarried, who under church law are banned from receiving communion. This is just one area where he will find lots of resistance to innovation from Catholic traditionalists. It will be a very interesting year.
NPR's Sylvia Poggioli, and we count on you to take us through it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.